Next week, our guest will be Tommy Cook, one of Hollywood's busiest child actors during the decade of the 1940s. When Tommy was 7 years old, he became Little Beaver on the famous Red Ryder program. From Tom's personal collection of transcriptions, here is an episode from January 1943.
From out of the West comes Red Ryder, America's famous fighting cowboy.
Trouble brewing along Devil's Hole Way, so ride, Little Beaver. Drop that pony.
You betcha. Get him up, Papoose. Get along. Yee!
Come on, Thunder. Hit that grave.
The Adventures of Red Ryder. Three times a day, breakfast, lunch, and supper, you'll be glad you switched to fresh and tasty Langendorf bread. It makes such a delicious, tempting addition to any meal. For breakfast, fresh Langendorf bread, toasted a good golden brown, hits just the right spot with sleepy appetites. For lunch, a tender, tempting sandwich made with Langendorf bread is really a meal in itself. And for supper, serve Langendorf bread plain with butter, jam, or preserves, and every member of the family will comment on its luscious, rich flavor. Yes, there's real zest in your daily meals when you serve this flavorful bread, moist air-baked in moist air ovens, so that it stays deliciously fresh for the very last creamy white velvet smooth bite. Baking experts have judged it America's finest bread, and you'll agree. From now on, make Langendorf bread your daily bread, both for goodness sake and for energy's sake. You'll really like it. Unforgettable year of action and danger behind him, it seems that trouble shall always be the fate of America's famous fighting cowboy. Because the shadow of gunplay and swift striking murder again cast clouds over the peaceful range around Painted Valley. Word has just reached the ranchers that a wagon train of homesteaders is creaking slowly across the mountain pass, which leads to the rich, wide valley. And, alarmed lest their range be invaded, the ranchers have gathered at the Devil's Hole Town Hall in a lusty and noisy protest meeting.
Instead of all flapping at once like sheep. All right, all right. Now, go on, Red.
I've had my say, Duchess, and I suppose you have yours.
Well, all I gotta say is, I don't hanker after nesters any more than the rest of you. But not liking them don't give me no lawful right to try to drive them out of here.
I am polite. Left alone, 80% of those nesters will have given up and moved on a year from now.
Yeah, oh, sure. Give them a year, like Red says, and 90% of us will be moving out with them. Show me a nester and I'll show you a cattle thief. They're a mangy, flea-bitten bunch of sheep-stealing owl hooters, a lot of them.
Let me ask you a question, Brace.
Yeah, Ryder? What is it?
How did you get your ranch?
Why, what do you mean?
You didn't buy it, did you? Oh, I don't mean that. I don't mean you stole it. But if memory serves me, your place was a homestead not too many years ago, just like most everyone else's around here.
Sure, that was 10 years ago. But conditions have changed.
By that, I take it you mean nesters have only become a mangy, flea-bitten bunch of owl hooters since you settled here.
Now look here, Ryder. Are you trying to make a fool out of me?
You don't have to answer that, Red. Nature beats you to it.
Well, Brace, your neighbors seem to have answered that question for me.
You're a pack of mule-headed jackasses, a lot of you.
A lot of us, eh? Then that would include me and my aunt. Well, Brace, did you mean that?
I ain't making no exceptions. Especially not in your case, you red-headed, loud-mouthed smart aleck.
You wouldn't like to step outside, would you? I may have a way of making you take that back.
Yeah? Well, I've got a way of taking care of your kind. Right here.
Red, look out!
Go on, Brace. You started to scratch leather. What's stopping you?
Nothing, you long-legged...
Too bad about knocking the butt off your .44, Brace. But a man who handles a gun like you do doesn't need a coat. You do just about as much harm with a cap pistol.
All right, Ryder. Go on, have it your way. When them nesters come in and your cattle start stirring up missing, don't come looking to me for help. They'll rob you blind, and I'll be mighty glad of it.
Another glass of water and just leave the bottle. Well, what happened to you, Brace? You look like 18 weeks of Texas rain.
Well, I thought I'd find you here, Slip. Come on, let's go over to that empty table and sit down.
Sure, sure. Well, boss, meeting didn't go so good, is that it?
Well, it would have if it hadn't been for that loudmouth Ryder.
Someone ought to take care of him.
Yeah? Well, I'm not wasting any time or lead on Ryder. Yep. What we gotta do is make sure them nesters never reach Devil's Hole.
Well, why don't you wait to see if any of them happen to settle that little piece around Catamount Pass first? If they don't file a claim on it, you got nothing to worry about.
No, sir, Slip. While Catamount Pass is the shortest way out of this valley to the railhead, I've either got to own it or give up all I've been working for the last 2 years.
Well, it's okay with me, Ray. But since the ranchers don't seem to want to keep the nesters out, how do you figure you can do it alone?
By stopping them from ever getting here. Now, go on. Round up a dozen men who want to get paid for a little target practice. I'll meet you in that sycamore grove on the south slope of Snow Peak Mountain. And be sure you've got plenty of ammunition, Slip. Because before we're through, there ain't going to be nothing left but smoke and a lot of bodies.
Handle that meeting.
Well, thanks, Duchess.
Yeah, you talk on plenty good sense, Red Ryder. Make them other people understand that Nestor's entitled to have a decent chance.
Well, now, maybe I ought to run for Congress or something with two such loyal supporters as you. Now, I wonder how soon that wagon train of homesteaders will descend on us. Until they get here, I can't help feeling a little nervous.
Why, Red? Why should you feel nervous?
Red Ryder, from the sound of shooting, that must be wagon train and road that passing by Snow Peak Mountain.
Doggone it, I had a feeling in my bones something like this would happen.
Get up, Papoose. Get along. Get...
Stretch those legs, Thunder. Let's have some speed. Come on, Thunder. Them just like a bunch of yellow jackals. Run if it even looks as if the odds were against them.
Red Ryder, see them on road. A couple of homesteaders' horses frightened them by shots. Some of them run them away. And maybe get them into plenty trouble.
Wait a minute. See, cutting across the rocks away from the wagon? Looks like a little boy or a girl on a horse that's got the bit in his teeth. Little Beaver, the Duchess and I'll do what we can about stopping your wagons. You veer off here and see if you can't cut off that runaway pony. Think you can do it all right?
No, about doing it. But sure can try him. Get along, Papoose. Get!
Whoa! Slow down. Be a good horse. Whoa!
Hold the horse, Rick. Don't let him get off my cliff. Get along, Papoose. Get!
Plenty spooky. But him all right now. You okay?
Well, I don't know. I haven't got my breath yet. It was certainly wonderful. The way you cut across and stopped Toby.
Oh, your pony name him Toby, huh? Yeah, nice, Toby. Everything's gonna be all right now.
My name is Pamela Sterrett.
Huh? They called me Little Beaver. Say, what you doing here on pony all alone?
Oh, I'm not all alone. Well, that is, I wasn't. My father and I were with that wagon train, and when the shooting started, Toby got scared and ran away with me. Gosh, I hope Daddy's all right. Toby running away, I'd almost forgotten about him.
Yeah, and him probably plenty worried about you, too. So, me hold him your bridle, and me take him back to your father. Now, come on, Toby. Watch him, little girl. Get him up, Papoose. Get along. Get.
Certainly much obliged to you, Ryder. Your aunt, too. But I'd feel a lot happier if I knew what happened to Pam, my little girl.
Well, Mr. Stewart, that's one worry you can get rid of. See, here she comes now, with Little Beaver leading her pony.
Well,
nice work, son. You're getting to be a real He-Man.
Daddy! Oh, Daddy, are you all right?
Bounced around a little, but... Oh, thank goodness nothing happened to you.
Oh, Papa. Steady, Toby, now.
Oh, boy. Well, Redskin... As soon as I get my homestead filed, my cabin built, Pamela and I are going to give you the biggest dinner you ever ate, aren't we, darling?
Yes, indeed, Daddy. Little Beaver certainly saved my life.
Well, till you get settled, Mrs. Barrett, we've got enough for all of you to eat at Painted Valley.
Well, thanks, Duchess. May take you up on that. But first, I think I'd better be getting into Devil's Hole and staking out a claim.
Oh, before you leave, Mr. Sturrett, did you get a look at any of the men who staged that raid on the wagon train?
No, sir. I can't say that I rightly did. They were hidden by the rocks.
Red, look. Up there, halfway up Snow Peak. Isn't that Brace Bendix?
Well, if it weren't for this confounded sun, I could see better. Yes, it certainly looks like Brace. And if it is, I'd bet you a penny to a possum he had his fine polecat's hand in this raid someplace or other. Hey, Brace! Bendix! Well, either he can't hear me or doesn't want to. Maybe this will attract his attention.
Oh, that scared me.
Now, that's the trouble with nesters. That's them like tender feet.
Oh, that's a nice way to talk, Little Beaver. Well, I guess maybe I shouldn't have fired those shots without warning you.
Just who was that man, Ryder?
A rancher by the name of Brace Bendix. A mean, ornery cuss who hasn't made any bones about not wanting you homesteaders in his valley.
But why? Surely we aren't going to harm him none.
No, of course not. But if I'm any judge of men, and Bendix hardly qualifies for that classification, he's got something up his sleeve which your coming in here might spoil. And if what he has up his sleeve is another gun... There's not going to be any peace around here until either Bendix or I carve that word on a stone. A headstone reading, Rest in Peace.
We return to the adventures of Red Ryder in just a moment. How about it, ladies? Are you having trouble slicing bread these days? Well, if you're buying fresh and tasty Langendorf bread, you're probably having less trouble than a lot of folks. But there is an art to slicing bread. And here are four simple rules that'll help you get neat, even slices.
First, you are listening to the Red Ryder program, originally broadcast over the western leg of the Blue Network on January the 19th, 1943.
Crown towards you. Third, hold the knife horizontal to the cutting surface and cut with a gentle sawing motion. Fourth, keep your eye at the bottom of the loaf where you want the slice to end. And here's another tip. Langendorf bread is easy to slice. Its fresh firmness helps you cut clean, even slices that are just right for sandwiches, for meals, and for your automatic toaster. So try easy slicing Langendorf bread. You'll like its tenderness, its aroma and flavor. Judge America's finest. For the second act of tonight's Red Ryder story of the West that lives forever. Having been just in time to frustrate the raid on the wagon train of homesteaders, Red and his aunt the Duchess have taken a personal interest in homesteader Sterrett, as has Little Beaver and Sterrett's 8-year-old daughter Pamela. As we join them now, Pamela and Little Beaver are playing in front of the huge shady porch of the Painted Valley Ranch.
That isn't fair, Little Beaver. Throw the ball to me.
Well, okay. But if me threw him, you catch him. Watch! Oh, me knew him that was going to happen, but trying to play ball with little squaw girl.
Little Beaver, what's the matter with you? You go pick up that ball yourself. It isn't manners to expect a girl to do it.
Well, if little girls know chasing ball, we should play him ball.
I'll go with you too, Little Beaver. I'll help you find it.
You know, Duchess, that Indian's grown up. A year ago, he wouldn't deign to have been caught playing ball with a little girl.
Are you savvy? I know too sure she little girl. She may eat enough to be a little boy.
Ching Hao, will you stop that constant complaining? Pamela taught you how to make drop biscuits, didn't she?
Oh, drop biscuits.
I hate to understand what he just said. All right, Ching, back in the kitchen with you. It's getting dark, and it's about time to be thinking of supper.
Yes, and it's time that little Beaver was taking Pamela home. Her daddy will be wondering where she is if she's not back before sunset. Pam, darling.
Yes, Annie Jensen.
You go get your things on. Little Beaver will ride home with you.
Okay, Andy Duchess. We do them.
Well, I must say, a little girl living in the neighborhood has certainly helped that youngster.
Well, if that's the reason you induced her father to file a claim on that barren hunk of rocks you picked out for him around Catamount Pass, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Now, you know that wasn't the reason, Duchess. But I figured if the railroad ever decided to come in from the southwest, that little barren hunk of rocks, as you call it, will be worth some real money. And that's a lot better than Sterrett working his heart out trying to make a living raising cattle year after year.
Oh, well, I guess you're right at that, Red. Pamela tells me that her father's health hasn't been so good ever since her mother died. Now, if Brace Bendix will keep his mouth shut and leave him alone, maybe the poor man will do all right.
You still got it in your head that it was Brace who tried to drive the homesteaders off the other day over by Snow Peak Mountain, haven't you?
Yes, and so have you. But with that stubborn, red-headed streak of yours, you won't even admit it until you got enough proof to hang him.
Well, I'll promise you one thing. If he starts anything again, that is, of course, if it was Brace, he'll hang all right if I have anything to do with it.
Goodbye, Red. Goodbye, Annie Duchess, and thanks for the cookies and the milk and the chocolates and everything.
Me get him, Toby, and take him Pam home now, Red Rider. But bring him back in plenty time for supper.
Goodbye, Pam, and remember me to your father. What's the matter with you, Duchess? You've got a faraway look in your eye like a girl with her first bowl.
You know what I was thinking, Red? Little Beaver and Pamela make a mighty handsome-looking young couple, ain't that right?
Well, I'll be doggone. You're nothing but an old matchmaker. And if you don't mind some good advice, Aunt Harriet, you spend less time thinking about Pamela and more about her father. A polecat like Brace Bendix, if it is Bendix, mind you, isn't going to give up without a lot more scheming and gun smoke.
Okay, so I was wrong. I was wrong, Brace. But you make mistakes, too.
Well, I certainly made a mistake when I let that mangy nester Sterrett come in and stake out Catamount Pass on me.
Well, if Ryder hadn't helped him keep it so blame quiet, I might have found out in time to stop him. So what I'm in here for is to find out what the next move is and who makes it.
Next move is the thing we should have done first, getting rid of Sterrett. Mm. And I don't know a better man to make a move like that than you, Slip.
Duchess and Red Rider telling me to take him you home. I'm going to stop him half mile from ranch. I should say not.
I hope you don't mind me saying this, but you're everything I ever heard about an Indian back east.
That's supposed to be him good.
Of course it's good, little beaver. I meant it for a...
Roll, Toby! Roll, Pepples!
Little beaver, what was that? That noise?
That pretty bad noise. Sounded sharp. Him coming right from your house.
My house?
Yeah.
Oh, little beaver. You don't think anything happened to Daddy?
Well, I mean, hope I'm not, but look. Somebody ran him away from house. It's so dark, I can't see him who it is.
Oh, little beaver. If anything happened to Daddy, I...
Well, no good sitting him here. We gotta get him down to ranch house quick. Get up there, Toby. Ow! Have a look, quick. Get behind me. Somebody see him as coming, and no one must see him then.
Oh, my goodness, little beaver.
Well, now you don't have to worry, Pamela. Nobody scare him off, little beaver. Get him up, Papoose. Get along. Get him. I'm telling you everything, Red Rider. Don't know him no more about who killed him, Mr. Sterrett.
If I ever get my fingers around the neck of the buzzard who did it, I'll...
Worst part of the whole thing is to see him, Pamela, cry.
Yes, yes, I know, son, but she'll be all right. Andy Duchess has taken her upstairs now and made her lie down. Oh, what a foul-hearted bunch of coyotes they must be. Imagine throwing shots at a youngster like you.
Me think of that because killer figure me see him.
Yes, probably, but the rotten part of it is you didn't see him. Now, son, you know as well as I do that I'll never have a moment's peace until I run that murdering polecat down.
Yeah.
And since we didn't catch Bendix actually doing the killing, don't you think, to be fair about it, we ought to give him a second chance?
Second chance? Well, what for? Him already killing one man.
Yes, that's true, except that in the eyes of the law, no one saw it. But if you're willing to pitch in and help out, I've got an idea that ought to appeal to Bendix. Because from the viewpoint of a slimy killer like that, It's as easy as shooting fish in a barrel. Are you game, son?
You don't have to ask me twice, Red Rider. Anytime Little Beaver can help a new find killer who gunned down Pamela's father, they go in with you no matter how long his trail. You betcha.
You're a loco, Sheriff. You sent for me to come over here because you think I killed Starrett.
Now, don't go flying off the handle, Bendix. I'm only doing what every sheriff's got to do. After the way you shut your face off at that big meeting before the homesteaders got here, naturally people started talking.
Well, you can tell them to quit their talking. Five men will testify that I was in Hanlon's Cafe between sundown and 8 o'clock last night.
Sure, I know, Brace. But I still had to ask you. Well, thanks for coming in, and I'll see that nobody goes around saying things.
Come on, Little Beaver. Hello, Sheriff. What are you doing in here, Bendix?
What do you think I'd be doing any place when you come in? Getting outside where the air smells better.
A couple of the boys thought Brace might have had a finger in Starrett's killing.
Well, they all wrong, Sheriff. Killer not Mr. Bendix.
Yeah? What makes you say that, Injun?
Because Little Beaver had a good look at the killer, Brace, and he doesn't answer your description. That's why I brought him into the sheriff. If he's the only witness who can identify the killer, for his own sake and for the sake of the state, I figure he ought to be kept locked up.
You mean put Little Beaver in a cell, Red?
That's exactly what I mean. And since Bendix is leaving anyhow, I suggest you get your keys out and not waste any time.
I'm telling you, if I could hardly make him out, how could that engine have seen me?
Now, look, Slip, I'm not taking any chances. I know you and your kind. If they ever got you locked up, you'd yell like a stuck pig. I don't want no one around here yelling my name.
Ah, you make me sick. I ain't going to squeal on you.
You're right about that, friend. You're not going to have a chance to squeal. Because tonight, when that broken-down deputy the sheriff leaves to guard the jail is on duty, you and I are going over and make sure that little redskin heathen never lives to identify you.
Oh, but jeepers, Brace, gunning down a kid and
shut up. From now on, you're doing as you're told. Exactly as you're told.
Well, Clem, I guess nothing more is going to happen tonight, so I think I'll mosey along home and go to bed.
Yeah, go ahead, Sheriff. No reason for you to stay here because Little Beaver's locked up. Yeah. I want some good.
Yeah. Well, good night, Clem. I'll bring you your breakfast over in the morning.
All right.
All right, you old coot. Keep your hands away from your gun and get him up.
Why, you can't Slip. Shine.
Can't have no noise. I'll grab him before he gets that shotgun.
What do you mean?
Oh, you play it, fool. You want to get hurt? Let's go keep you quiet.
That's it, Slip. I get those keys and open that gate.
Right, boss. Hey, Brace, look. This is going to be a pinch. That engine's on his cot, fast asleep. He couldn't miss him from here with a slingshot.
Yeah? Well, I'm not taking no chances on you missing. This is one job I'm going to do myself. I guess that's one engine who won't do any talking.
You'll talk, all right. You'll talk on the stand with the sheriff and me, testifying how you tried to murder him. Won't you, Little Beaver?
You betcha. And this time we see him whole thing.
Brace, that engine. Where did he come from?
He came out of the cell you're both going to occupy. Except that he came out a long time ago. And if the bullets we found in that mattress under his blanket on the cot match the slugs they took out of Mr. Starrett Brace, we've got you on a charge of double murder.
You haven't got me yet, Ryder.
I've got a little sewing to do myself, Sheriff. A nice cross stitch right to the point of the jaw.
Gosh, Red Rider. You swing your mom so fast, look him like locomotive pistons. Well, the only thing we got to do him now is pull him into court and testify. When those two coyotes wake him up.
Papoose of yours, will you, Red? Got a face on him as long as Ching Hao's winter underwear. What's the matter, Little Beaver? Feeling bad because we just put Pamela on the train and sent her back east to her grandmother?
You shouldn't be treating him like a cub anymore, Duchess. Little Beaver took a big chance in helping us catch Brace Bendix. Yes, sir, he acted like a real man.
Now, never mind trying to make him feel good. We just want to get him home and leave him alone for a little while. Get him up, Papoose. Get along. Get!
Doggone it, if I don't think you're right, Duchess. I'm afraid Pamela is carrying Little Beaver's heart back east on the train with her. All right, boys, stretch out. Come on, Thunder.
There'll be more news of America's famous fighting cowboy in a second or two. But right now, Red Rider himself wants to talk to you.
Yes, I do want to talk to you briefly on a matter which is very close to my heart. Of all the mail I've received from you listeners, the letter which touched me most was from a youngster in Northern California who hoped that someday he'd be able to do all the things Red Rider does. Today he can't, because he's been struck down by one of America's greatest enemies, infantile paralysis. Are you men and women, boys and girls who are enjoying the blessings of fine physical health, can help little Bobby and thousands of others to grow up to be useful and worthwhile citizens? You can do it this week, right now, by sending a single dime in an envelope merely addressed to President Roosevelt at the White House. Help these unfortunates up, and they'll never let you down.
Acted like a man in more ways than one, didn't he? But maybe when St. Valentine's Day comes around, if he hears from Pamela, he may be feeling a little better. And now, long before St. Valentine's Day, America's famous fighting cowboy rides into a blistering new adventure. Yes, sir, I mean next time, a red-hot, scorching thriller that you won't want to miss. So until then, so long, and keep thinking of your old friend, Red Rider.
Red Rider comes to you every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday at the same time. Tune in again Thursday evening at 7:30 for the next exciting story of the West that lives forever.
Red Rider is presented for your enjoyment by Langendorf, bakers of the bread judged America's finest.
This program comes to you from Hollywood. This is the Blue Network.
The Red Rider Program from January 19th, 1943. You are listening to Same Time, Same Station. This is KRLA, Pasadena.